This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
35,000 jobs are on the chopping block at Europe's biggest bank. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a major restructuring, HSBC said it will reduce global headcount by 15% over the next 3 years. The announcement came as the bank, which operates in 50 countries around the world, also unveiled a 33% drop in quarterly profit. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more.
HSBC still made a profit last year of $6 billion, but that was half what it made in 2018, and the chief executive, Noel Quinn, said some parts of the business were not delivering acceptable returns. Cutting costs is a central part of his strategy to improve the bank's financial performance. The aim is a reduction of $4.5 billion a year in HSBC's outgoings. There was also a warning about the possible impact on the business of the coronavirus, which has emerged in China. Almost half the bank's revenue comes from its operations in Asia. I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
HSBC shares are plunging more than 6% after that announcement. Shares of Apple are also down more than 3% in pre-market trade on Wall Street. That's after the tech giant warned revenue will take a hit from supply chain disruption due to the coronavirus outbreak. That's also putting pressure on shares of the company's European suppliers and Asia benchmarks, which all closed down more than 1%. German business sentiment has also been hit by worries about how the virus will impact global trade. A key gauge of the mood among investors plunged from 26.7 to just 8.7 in January. And shares of commodity giant Glencore were down more than 3% today. The company reported its first annual loss in 5 years, thanks in part to a drop in coal consumption. To Singapore, where the government announced it set aside more than $4 billion to help businesses and households deal with the impact of the coronavirus outbreak on an already slowing economy. The island city has reported some of the highest case numbers outside China. The BBC's Katie Silver explains where the government's money will go.
About $600 million is going to a dedicated specific healthcare package specifically to fight this coronavirus outbreak. And beyond that, we're seeing about $1 billion being pledged to be spent on households as a care and support package. And the rest, the lion's share, is going to companies themselves. So we're seeing things like cash flows for companies being offered tax rebates. The government's also offered to pay about 8% of most Singaporean employee wages. So about 2 million employees will have 8% of their wages paid for by the government so that businesses don't lay them off in this sort of quiet period that we're having. And there's also extra support being pledged for the industries most affected, such as tourism, aviation, retail, and food.
Singapore has already been dealing with slowing growth. In fact, yesterday, the Ministry of Trade downgraded its expected GDP forecast to between negative 0.5% and 1.5%. How big of a further impact is the government expecting from this virus?
Well, there's a lot of fear around that. Things are quieter here than usual, and productivity is definitely going to be lower at the moment because many people are working from home. So as you say, there's talk that it could even hit recessionary levels, but they're hopeful. Analysts are predicting that hopefully they may have this pandemic somewhat under control by the end of Q1, and that we may see things sort of pick up again after that.
What's the mood like there in Singapore? How worried are businesses and consumers?
I'd say quite worried, Victoria. I mean, the streets are a lot more quiet. Everybody's wearing masks, lots of hand sanitizer everywhere, people, you know, doing temperature checks. The main tourism origin is people from China, and they're currently not allowed to enter the country. So we're seeing visitor arrivals down, hotel occupancy is down. And for a small city state, there's already been 77 cases here. We're also seeing, for example, the office culture, many people working from home, people doing split days. So some people coming in the morning, some people coming in the afternoon. And as a destination, usually for conferences, tourism, we're not seeing the same numbers that you'd normally see here at all, Victoria.
The Singapore government, I'm sure, hoping this package helps alleviate that economic strain. The BBC's Katie Silver in Singapore. Thank you.
Thanks, Victoria.
Rising incomes meant Chinese tourists made 150 million overseas trips in 2019. But what a difference a year makes. Those vacations plunged 73% over Lunar New Year this year due to travel restrictions in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak. That is having a big impact on tourist attractions around the UK, as the BBC's Darshini David reports from Oxford.
It's easy to see why this is one of the most popular destinations for Chinese visitors. Over 400,000 came from China to the UK last year, but that number has dropped sharply this year. One company which offers walking tours told us it typically has 50 Chinese customers per week. Now, it doesn't have any.
At nearby Blenheim Palace, demand from visitors for the Mandarin audio guide has fallen. The Baroque birthplace of Sir Winston Churchill was a big draw for Chinese visitors until the restrictions hit. Dominic Hare is its chief executive.
We expect across February to lose about 5,000 Chinese visits. That would be about 10% of our natural February audience.
Announcements are also made in Mandarin on the train to Bicester Village, the discount shopping centre, popular with Chinese visitors keen to avoid high import taxes on luxuries back home. But it's emptier than usual, with some retailers confiding sales are suffering, as they are too at the Plough Inn nearby. It shot to global fame 5 years ago. It was then that the Chinese president visited to toast his so-called golden friendship with David Cameron. It's run by Chris and Anita Paul, who are used to visitors who want to sit at the same bar as their leader with a plate of fish and chips.
And they take all the selfies, and it's just so that I suppose they can go back home and just say, look, we've done it, we've been there. In recent weeks, it's been no Chinese tourists at all.
It's a costly blow. Tourism earns the UK over £10 billion per year, supporting over 2 million jobs. As the human cost of this virus rises, so too does the financial penalty.
That's the BBC's Darshini David reporting there from Oxford. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.